Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. Precious Lamb, O God, Messiah, O Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, giving us your Son, and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Reminder that we come here to learn more about the work to be done. Nice to have the sun shining in on us today. As long as you're standing, I hope you feel the peace of God, and let's pass that with one another as we greet each other this morning. Get it out to the sun. There we go. Joyce concerns. Glennis, my wife, thanks you, especially the prayer team, for prayers, for getting through the surgery. It went well to replace her left shoulder. And of course, now she had a block in there that deadened the nerves, but now that's awakening, and so the pain is starting, but as you say, the healing also starts, yeah. It tingles, and of course, a sign that things are waking up again. So thank you, she says. I had a reminder from, was it Diane? About the food shelf. I guess March is food shelf month. And there are trees back there. Is this the time, and then this, what we give is matched? Is that how that works? Always good to eat, to have food. And with a lot of folks, that continues to be a struggle around the world, of course. Other announcements, joys, concerns? Well, let's keep going. Not that we haven't been worshiping, but a responsive reading from the Psalms. It says, come, let us sing a new song to our God. Make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us enter God's presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise with songs of praise, for God is a great ruler above all other gods, and the depths of the earth are in God's hands. The highest mountains belong to God. The farthest reaches of the universe are God's own. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before God, our Maker. We are the people of God's pasture. We will listen with open hearts. And let's pray together to say, we come to you, God, because we are thirsty. Our spirits need the refreshing water of your word, just as our bodies need the refreshment of a cool drink. We worship you with joy, for we can already feel the gift of your presence all around us. Now open our ears so that we may hear all that you expect of us. Open our lives to your truth and prepare us to follow Jesus in anticipating, challenging the conventional, and joining together in a harvest for your realm. Amen. The old rugged cross. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the cross, the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the cross, the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday the crown. To the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For it was on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the cross, the old rugged cross, for my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the cross, the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the cross, the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the cross, the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday. Of course, we don't always grip that cross with a tight, loving embrace. Many times we see it as an instrument of death, of course, which it is, but sometimes we take our eyes off. What it really stands for is a life. He's not on the cross anymore. He's been resurrected and lives with a beautiful banner up there. I had to glance up there, sitting in my chair. But what I'm leading to is this part where we confess together our shortcomings as two-leggeds, as human beings. as children of God, still learning. If you hear a sound like wind or thunder, it's a new sound for us, isn't it, Diane? Maybe you can't hear it there, but they have to check into that, huh? Anyway, let's pray together to say, what will you do with us, God? We are never satisfied with our lot. We rebel and complain when things don't go our way. Our hearts chase after things that become gods to us and consume our time, energy, and attention. We spend little time in communion with you and then begin to doubt your presence. You seem far away and unavailable. We create barriers among us that separate us from one another and from you. Send your living water to cleanse us, O God. Empower us to worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. Be assured that as we pray to God, confessing our weaknesses, our missteps, that God forgives us. It says, hang in there, keep going. Here's a story that might help us, and Jim Leith has signed up to read. And if you want to follow along in your Bible, that perhaps you... It's hard to... Sometimes churches have Bibles in the pews, and they're all on the same page, or at least the same translation. I offered to bring some of mine here, but then... They're different versions, so it's good to have different versions, don't get me wrong. But what version will you be reading out of this morning, Jim, do you know?
The New Revised Standard.
The New Revised Standard, yeah, we use that a lot here. Thanks for signing up.
Jesus and the woman of Samaria from the Gospel of John. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noontime. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Now his disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of water of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." At this, the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship God must worship in spirit and truth." At this the woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came back. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But Jesus said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest?' But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I have done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world."
Thank you, Jim. Whew, there's a lot. That was from up there, right? Okay. I mean, it stopped back here. All right. So I'm glad you're okay up there. I couldn't see, but anyway, there's a lot there. Whoa. So, if you don't mind, I'd just kind of like to go back to that scene again, and figure out what's going on down at the well. The story starts at noon, over 2,000 years ago. And the well belongs to the city. It's a very important and sacred spot. Jacob's well, passed on then to Joseph and through the ages. And Jacob, the great ancestor of all Jews and Samaritans, Jacob's well. I don't know, Barb, did you visit that when it's in the West Bank? Probably didn't get over there, but now it's Samaria is in the West Bank of the Holy Land. Jesus is there alone. I don't know why he slipped away from the other disciples. They went into town to shop. Well, you'd think that maybe they would have come back with a little, case, how they get this water in the plastic bottles and this, No, they didn't have that then, of course. But they're strangely not there. Why is he going alone? What drew him there? I like to think that the reading says that he wanted to take a shortcut through Galilee, to Galilee, through Samaria, which, of course, was really where Jesus was from, going home. But I like to think the spirit of the wind that the gospel writer talked about in the previous chapter, John 3, the wind blows. We don't always understand how it takes us and what it does. But he feels led to go into here and sit by this one. It's all alone. And he's all alone. And the worthy ones had been to the well and done their business already. But this one Samaritan woman comes along, and it's not just that she's a Samaritan, but, she's been married, 5 times already, and now she lives with a guy, and they're not married. So she comes alone with Jesus. And I like to picture them sitting together by that well. It's kind of a desert area. Nobody else around. Maybe some are looking, watching behind a palm tree or something. I don't know. But as we read this story, we got to wonder what's going on here with this Samaritan woman. Now you understand with the Jews, she's unclean. For various reasons, one being she's a Samaritan, and those people, the Samaritans, they were not led into captivity over 700 years ago into Babylon, as were the other Jews. And in fact, when those other Jews came back and wanted to rebuild Jerusalem and a temple, they were frowned upon by the Samaritans. Well, we're worshiping at Mount Gerizim. What's the deal with wanting to build a temple? What's wrong with this one? And how come you let those people take you off into captivity? There was a rift between them. So bad that a Samaritan, especially a Samaritan woman, would not talk to a Jewish man or woman even. But Jesus sits there. She approaches. He's thirsty. He's tired. And I don't know what tone of voice you hear when he says, "Give me a drink." It's kind of like, "Come on, give me a drink, can't you see?" Or it's kind of like, "Please, do you mind?" Kind of thing. It's hard to tell. I like to think it's both a command and has a deeper meaning. Yet there's a a tone of affection for Samaritans. And you've got the material. I don't have anything to get this water. You've got a rope and a pail. You can put it in a jar. We can drink out of it. But she immediately is bewildered anyway. Why is he talking to me? Should I answer him? You're a Jew. You're asking a Samaritan to help you? And then Jesus comes back with, it's not sarcasm. It's not like, well, don't you know this kind of a thing. It's kind of like an invitation to a deeper discussion. If you knew me and the gift that I have, you'd be asking me for a drink. And he starts talking about this living water, okay? Living water. So she's probably thinking, you mean like in a stream? This deep down there's a stream. Is it, can we access that? Aren't we getting that now as we draw water from this well? Is there some place where there's a river? Or at least as we used to call it, a creek growing up. Some place where it's alive. It's not just sitting there. But of course, as we know today, he's talking about water as like wind, the Spirit of God. So she asks him in reply, where do we get this water? Where'd you get it? And at some point in this conversation, some minutes may have passed, he says to her, better go and get your husband. I don't know if he suspicioned that there were people watching and he didn't want to get into that kind of trouble with talking to one of those women, especially one who's unclean, who has been married 5 times. Isn't that interesting? We immediately always blame the woman for these things. But maybe there was 5 guys that weren't very nice to her and she had the courage to leave. We don't know those things. But Jesus says, yeah, that's right. I knew that. And furthermore, the one you're living with now, you're not married, right? And so, whoa, she got to be freaking out now. And she says something like, you're a prophet? You're a prophet. So they get into discussion about the deeper things, where to worship. And she brings up this age-old problem of where to worship. We got Great Mountain here where we go to worship. Can't imagine wanting to build a temple to worship in. But Jesus says something that's more important. It's not where you worship. It's how you worship. And those that worship our Creator must worship in spirit and in truth. Same thing, spirit and truth. Of course, Jesus was later declared by the early church, remembering him saying, I am the way and the truth and the life. Spirit and truth. Well, leaving her jar there, interestingly enough, maybe she's getting spooked, or maybe she's excited about something that she wants to share, but we later read that she reports back to her village, and she's saying, I met a man who said he was, seems to be the Messiah, and he knows everything about me. Which could be, she had that sense. We don't know how long they talked, but she felt that he knew everything about her. And she doesn't forget that. And she goes around saying, Messiah has come to us Samaritans too. This is a big deal. We who are regarded as half-breeds, you see, they intermarried. They were half-breeds. They were those people. Now she's becomes really the first minister to the Samaritans herself, the first missionary. And so the story goes on about how this Jesus appeared to break down the barriers. Made me come to this this time now, away from the well. But think about that. And I invite you to think about it too. A song came to my mind. I won't sing it, but you probably heard it. Simon Garfunkel. Like a bridge over troubled waters. Jesus is a bridge builder. Anybody can tear down things. Anyone can destroy things. Sometimes things need to come down, like walls, and be made into gates anyway. My mind went back to, what is it, 1984, when he was president. Ronald Reagan at the time said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall." Remember that? A sentence that will live on in infamy. "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall," between East and West Germany. They're all Germans. Recently, the Reverend Jesse Jackson died, someone whose life was devoted to saying, you know, we black folks, we're people too. We're as equal to you. We have gifts and talents. We need to get together and share more, not put up walls for blacks only, for whites only. It's the same Jesus who in John 17:11 is quoted. It's the motto of the United Church of Christ. He prays for his disciples. And I think it's a prayer that goes on, not only to his disciples, but to all everywhere, that they, his disciples, those who follow him, may be one. That all may be one. Apostle Paul writes to the Galatians. He says, you know, there's no more Greek or Hebrew, male or female, no slave, no free. We're all children of God. Amen. There's a lot of songs written about the Spirit like a river. This one came to mind. I'll sing just the first verse. There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that saves the soul from sin. Maybe you know it, huh? Come to these waters. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. Our statement of faith is the first one that was drawn up in 1959. It's on the inside cover of the hymnal. UCC, United Church of Christ, statement of faith. Let's turn to that and we'll confess it together. That we believe in God, the eternal Spirit, Father of our Savior, Christ, and our Father, and to his deeds we testify. He calls the worlds into being, creates man in his own image, and sets before him the ways of life and death. He seeks in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. He judges man and nations by his righteous will declared through prophets and apostles. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Savior, he has come to us, shared our common lot, conquering sin and death, and reconciling the world to himself. He bestows upon us his Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. He calls us into his church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be his servants in the service of men, to proclaim the gospel to all the world and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. He promises to all who trust him forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, his presence in trial and rejoicing, in eternal life, in his kingdom, which has no end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto him. Amen. Our prayer hymn is as an insert. Fill my cup, Lord. We'll sing the first couple stanzas and then keep playing, Diane, and we'll come back to that third stanza. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. There are millions in this world who are craving the pleasures earthly things afford, but none can match the wondrous treasure if you find in Jesus my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Dear God, thank you for your Spirit poured out on all flesh, the Bible says. Help us to see you in each other, so to speak. That our identity is as your children. Oh yeah, we fight, we quarrel. Many problems have gone down over the years. To look only at skin color, or perhaps what others have, their beliefs or creeds or lifestyle that doesn't agree with us, as if we were the judge. Help us to be positive, to act out of the love that Christ showed, even death on a cross, not thinking that we have to die that way, but we have to die to perhaps those impulses which aren't good habits to get into, reacting with out of fear and anger, wanting to eliminate someone else. We think of all the wars in the world. The longer I live, the more I love those words. War, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing but destruction. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. We become blind and toothless. We pray for immediate needs, people and suffering, not only with physical pains, with loneliness perhaps, a desire to reach someone else and to let them know that we care, but they don't seem to care. Maybe it's that. And we thank you for your church, which gives us a place to do mission work, especially the work of the Women's Fellowship. Puts on luncheons, raises money to help our people in the mission field, as we call it. And for all the churches in our area, that we can have clusters and get together for midweek services. So much to care about and for. And thankful that there's such a thing as a prayer you taught us to pray together by saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So, my brother and sister, if the things of this world gave you, leave hungers that won't pass away. The third stanza. So, my brother, if the things this world you gave me, the pleasures earthly things afford, I will pass away. My blessed Lord will come and save you if you kneel to him and humbly pray. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Let's stand as we sing. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, you heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Together we say, thank you, God, for all the ways we have benefited from the labors of others. We offer our best for the sake of our brothers and sisters who need the love and encouragement you are eager to share through us. Keep us from being ungrateful as we continue to receive so much more than we stop to realize. When life is difficult, help us to endure and to hope, because your love is sure and certain, ours to receive, ours to give. In Christ's name, amen. We give thee but thine own, whatever the gift may be. All that we have is yours alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen. Well, let the Son of God enfold you with his Spirit and his love. We sing. Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with his Spirit and his love. Let him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Oh, let him have the things that hold you, and his Spirit like a dove will descend upon your life, make you whole. Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, come and fill your lamps. Oh, Jesus, come and sing a song with gladness. Let your hearts be filled with joy. Let your hands in sweet surrender to his name. Oh, give him all your tears and sadness. Give him all your years of pain. And you'll enter into life in Jesus' name. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lambs. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill. I see the Women's Fellowship is, Women's Guild is meeting after church, and the Women's Fellowship's probably meeting somewhere too. I don't know, but not here. Women's Guild, and is there treats or fellowship time? Yeah, okay, that too. In the meantime, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.